Good morning, everyone, and welcome to First Baptist Church in Savannah. It's a beautiful day to be here worshiping with those that we know and love and with guests who have come from, some distance, some of you, to be with us today, and we're delighted that you're here. Our radio program is a two-week delay, so those of you who are just tuning in, it's not today. It's last week, a week ago. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. And I hope that this time of worship will be a time that blesses you, that when you leave this place, you'll know that you've been in the presence of loving and caring people and a dearly loved and caring Lord. It is World Communion Sunday, so regardless of your denominational persuasion or the direction in which your worship and fealty goes, we have a chance to join with congregations across the world to celebrate the life, death, and resurrection, and therefore our salvation through Jesus Christ. Please turn in your bulletins and read along with me the litany that you find there. Today on World Communion Sunday, we remember that we are one. Today we celebrate the Spirit of God that moves throughout God's people across all of creation. Today we remember our responsibility to bear with one another in love, to maintain unity by the bond of peace, and to be the body of Christ in the world. Today we recall that as members of one body, we can make a difference in a world in need of hope of Christ's love, and recognize this hope that unites us and sustains us. Today we celebrate our unity. We set aside the small things that can divide us and remember that only with gentleness and humility can we clearly see God's plan for us. On this World Communion Sunday, we acknowledge that we belong to God and to each other. We share the Lord's Supper with people around the world who serve the Lord. We are people of one God who is above all and through all. Let us worship God.
Please join me for the invocation. Wonderful Lord, we join together to praise and worship you as our gracious Lord and God. We humbly ask that you make your presence known to us in worship today. Quiet our minds and hearts that we may receive your blessings and hear your spirit during this time of worship together. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Please join me in the affirmation of our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our first lesson today comes from the Old Testament text, Exodus chapter 15, verses 14 through 21. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as hoarfrost on the ground. And when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, every man of you, as much as he can eat. You shall take an omer apiece, according to the number of the persons whom each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, He that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Each gathered according to what he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no man leave any of it till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. Here ends our first lesson. Our second lesson this morning comes from the Hebrew hymn book, and we will be reading Psalm 78, verses 18 through 25. Hear now the words of Psalm 78. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness? He smote the rock so that water gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he also give bread or provide meat for his people?" Therefore, when the Lord heard, he was full of wrath. A fire was kindled against Jacob, his anger mounted against Israel, because they had no faith in God and did not trust his saving power. Yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down upon them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. Man ate of the bread of the angels. He sent them food in abundance. He caused them. Man ate of the bread of the angels. He sent them food in abundance. He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he led them out by the south wind. He rained flesh upon them like dust, winged birds like the sand of the seas. He let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their habitation. And they ate and were well filled, for he gave them what they craved. Here ends our second lesson.
Our gospel lesson comes this morning from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 22 through 25. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered them, and they all drank from it. "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." This is the written word of the Lord. Some time ago, in another setting, the Lord's Supper was observed only once a quarter. The pastor expressed his desire to lead the church in a monthly Lord's Supper observance, but the response was quick and effective. "No, it's too inconvenient. Why do we need to do that? What on earth for? It's too expensive." Well, the pastor was stunned. Yet others might have a tendency to respond in the same way. Well, the pastor could have used that opportunity to share once again the seriousness of the Lord's table, why we do it, what we're supposed to remember, what does it really mean? Knowing that might have helped the people have a greater understanding and appreciation for the sacredness of the Lord's table and the joy which that ordinance embodies. I'd like to take a moment to do just exactly that. A reminder of why we eat at the Lord's table might help us to have a greater appreciation for what this is all about. You see, when we do the same thing the same way for a lot of different years, somehow that begins to fade in terms of its intensity and its value. You may remember when you were children, small children, having come through confirmation class or having come forward and asked the pastor to baptize you as an affirmation of your profession of faith, how excited you were when you got to take your first communion, when the first time you're sitting in the pew and the plate comes by and you can actually take the bread and it's all right. And you can actually take the cup, and it's all right. You can do that now. You're a Christian. You're part of the family of God. You're part of the body of Christ. This is what I get to do now. Well, I made that first communion when I was 8 years old. And now that I've reached 100, it does seem that over a period of time, it ceases to have the excitement and the joy that it might have had in the very beginning. But it should not be so. We have to remember that Jesus Christ himself is the host at this table. It's the Lord's table. It's not your table. It's not mine. It's not even the church's table. It's the Lord's table. He's the host. He's the one who first took the bread and broke it. He's the one who took the cup and shared it with his disciples. It was he who blessed the bread and the cup. We celebrate in this act the person who yielded up his life on the cross in exchange for our own. We come to this table at his invitation. He extends to all sinners who trust him, he extends his invitation. Come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, Scripture tells us. And also where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Remember, Jesus is the host at this table. Remember, too, that we come to the table to receive. We are the recipients of what Jesus has given to us. We come to this table recognizing that we are the ones who have received God's love, His grace, and His forgiveness. We don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. It's freely given by a God who wants all people to be saved and who desires to walk with them through every day of their life. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is given for you." For you, Peter, and you, James, and you, Andrew, and all 12 of you who are gathered together here with me in this upper room. But not just for them, for us also. Martin Luther said that authentic religion is always best expressed in pronouns. You, me, us, him, her, they. God's love for us is not some cold abstraction. It's personal. It's real. It's alive and throbbing with life and moving. In Jesus Christ, love becomes personal, and He bids us to receive that love even now. This morning's Old Testament passage discusses the story of the manna which God provided to the children of Israel in the wilderness. They were told not to hoard it. They were told to gather it fresh every single day. What a beautiful lesson that is, and it contains a warning. Our faith in Christ is not something we store up. We cannot feed on God and occasional worship experiences and hold that for the long haul. Our religion grows stale like that. People come to me and wonder why their spiritual lives grow flat, why their faith is weak, why their prayers don't go any further than the ceiling. And after some gentle inquiry, I find out that it's because they have moved away from God. God has not moved away from them. They have separated themselves from the giver of the manna, the giver of the quail, the giver of the bread, the giver of the wine, the giver of life in general, and of a spiritual life in particular. Our experience with God must always be fresh and enlivened by repeated experiences with Him. The Lord's Supper helps us to rekindle that excitement we once knew and must hold on to if we are to have authentic lives with Christ in our Christian walk. Out of sight, out of mind. It's an apt expression, and it's especially true in describing our relationship with God. We need to come again and again to His table to be fed. We need to come again and again to confess our sins and to feast, to find forgiveness and wholeness, and to receive from God the refreshment we need for victorious living. For many, it's only here that they gain enough strength simply to make it through another day. We also gather at this table to express thanksgiving. Some of our sister churches refer to the Lord's Supper as the Holy Eucharist. The Greek origin for that word means thanksgiving. Anamnesis is the Greek word that means remembrance. We come in remembrance, and we come in thanksgiving. I think that's why Baptists instruct non-Christians to refrain from joining Christians at the Lord's table. And while this table in this church is always open to everyone, it truly means more to the person who has made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and wants to walk more closely with Him than it would for someone who just wants a vicarious experience with the Lord. We come to share in God's presence. We come also to celebrate God's love. That should not just be a somber experience. But if you think about it, if you really think about it, and realize that you move from life to life through a door, and that door does not hold you, but admits you into the presence of Almighty God, then this table means, for me, something joyful, something exciting, something that prepares me for what is yet to come, and something that I celebrate because I know the Lord and I know He knows me. And someday I'll share with you my personal testimony about how I was called to the ministry. And there you will see why that reality is for me such a deep, deep experience. So we come to the table with joy and excitement. It's not somber. We're not celebrating Christ's death. We're celebrating Christ's resurrection. And because of His resurrection, our belief in Him, we too will be receiving eternal life. And then we come to this table as a sign of our participation in a new covenant. Jeremiah prophesied that the day would come when the covenant written on stone would then be written on human hearts. In the upper room, Jesus ushered in a new relationship, a new covenant. At that moment, a new community was created, a community that placed its priorities and allegiance in the life and message of Jesus Christ. When we commit our lives to Him, we become members of a new covenant community. In that community, we agree to love one another, to care for one another, to pray for one another, to bear one another's burdens, to understand and to be understanding, to forgive and to be forgiven, to support and to be supported. In the brief time I have been with you, I'm already experiencing the joy that comes with being a part of this church family in this place at this time. I am truly blessed. So it's not something we always do well, this new covenant relationship, but we're all working on it. And someday our covenant with one another and with God will be perfected. Each time we share this meal with one another and with God, we are all perfected. This symbolizes a covenant relationship which exists between our Lord and between our Lord and each one of you. Each one of you whom He knows, loves, and blesses every single waking moment. So let us come. Christ is our host. The experience is our gift, our strength, our thanksgiving, and our affirmation of a new life in Christ. Amen. Please be seated. In the book of Jeremiah, we read these words, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." We move now to a time of prayer, first silently, and you have a full minute for that prayer so that you can offer yours, and then I will offer prayers for all of us. Let us pray. Father of creation, Jesus of salvation, Spirit of wisdom, three in one, we celebrate you with our presence, praise you with our voices, and worship you with our service. Because we know we are saved for all eternity, our gratitude is boundless, and because of the hope we have in Jesus Christ, our lives are rich, joyful, peaceful, and inspired. So it is to you that we give our allegiance, our infinite respect, and our trust. We bless you, O God, and magnify your holy name. Lord, in your mercy. Father, according to your instruction, we observe in this hour the divine example of Jesus, who took off his outer robe, washed his disciples' feet, and then served them bread and wine, observing an ancient tradition, but changing it to make it clear that Jesus himself would atone for our sins, taking our judgment upon himself and sparing us the humiliation of a public sentence. O Lord, our Lord, who can understand so great a love? Help us, Father. Help us to be moved by the observance of communion with you as we share the bread and the cup and remember with thanksgiving what Jesus has done for us. Lord, in your mercy, and incline your ear to us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. Before I begin my stewardship moment, I would like to share with you a personal thought. I am so happy to be able to be standing right here because, as many of you know, 7 years ago, I almost lost my eyesight. And I remember I was wheeled into the operating room at Memorial Hospital, not sure what would happen. And that was the beginning of 4 years and 8 procedures and surgeries to help restore my eyesight. But one of the side effects of that was the fact that I've developed a mild case of vertigo. And so ever since 2010, climbing these steps or even coming down has been a challenge for me. And it's a challenge that I have taken seriously, and with your help and love, I'm getting through it. First Baptist Church has also seen some challenges these past few years. Did you know that within the span of the last year, we have had 3 named storms pass over the roof of this building? We have gotten through it with each other. Another challenge that we have faced this year is the departure of members of our staff. And on behalf of First Baptist Church, we're very grateful for Dr. McCann to be with us and guide us through. Also very grateful for Kyle Valentine and for Josh Brewer and for everyone here who has stepped up to be a member of this church. We also face a challenge in terms of our stewardship. The Stewardship and Budget Committee asked me if I would get the ball rolling here. The theme for this year is Here I Am, Lord. And it's based on Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, which is a beautiful passage of the Bible. And it's also a very beautiful hymn that we sing occasionally in this sanctuary. And so that, if we can prayerfully take into consideration what these verses mean to us and what this church means to us, and give accordingly. The pledge and estimate cards have been mailed out. The committee asks that you prayerfully consider your contribution and return your cards by Sunday, October 5th. And they plan to make an announcement as on Founder Sunday, November 22nd, as to our goal. So please be prayerful in your consideration. To be honest with you, I'm very optimistic. And I'm not saying that because I'm a dog fan, but I'm optimistic in how this church can meet this challenge. So if you would, please pray, be prayerful as you consider your contributions to this year's campaign. Thank you.
Giving is a genuine outward expression of what is in our hearts. Open your hearts and give your offering as the Spirit of God leads you to give. Thank you. pray with me. Gracious God, receive our gifts, blessing them to provide for every aspect of your kingdom's work. Allow them to multiply the good news of your forgiveness, grace, and glory, we pray. Amen. As has already been brought to your attention, today is World Communion Sunday, and we join our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world in this act of unity and obedience to Christ as we come to Jesus' table. Anyone who is a professing Christian is welcome to join us in this table fellowship as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Bread is still a staple of many people's diet, has been for hundreds and even thousands of years. The bread of life is no exception. We know on that night as Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room, he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Thank you. the body of Christ, take and eat.
In the same way also that they shared the bread, Jesus took the cup and he poured wine into it. And after he had blessed it, he passed it to his disciples and said, "This is my blood which is poured out for many for the remission of sin." In your imagination, consider how it must have been that night. At dusk, in an upper room, more than likely windowless, lit by torches, light flickering in the darkness, casting light on the faces of the disciples, and with the tears in the eyes of some coming to the realization that Jesus was going to leave them, they began to feel lost, anguished, pained, And then when he talks about his body being broken and his blood spilled out, how much more difficult would that have been for them, having walked with him for 3 years, having trusted him and depended on him for all that time, and now their leader was gone, about to be gone. And they wondered, particularly when he said, "This is my blood which is poured out for many. Drink ye all of it." I expect that most of you in this room have experienced the presence of the Lord in your hearts and minds and in your daily walk for many years. And you know how you have made it through difficult times. The loss of parents and friends, loss of jobs, loss of spouses. You've made it through illness, pain, suffering, anguish, hurricanes, earthquakes, you name it. Someone in this church has had that experience. Were it not for the presence of Almighty God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my heart and life, life would not nearly be as joyful as it is now. And I hope that that's true for each of you. But you know, not everyone has that kind of faith. Not everyone has had the experience of walking with the Lord, knowing who He is. And as I move through the city and talk with shop people and filling station attendants, if you can find them, it's amazing to me how few people really know much more about Jesus and God than what falls from their lips during times of pique and anger. But it's important for you to know that you have a testimony in your heart in a way that God has chosen you, and He's touched you and blessed you, and He's brought you through difficulties time and again, and even more important, He has placed in your hands, in your minds, talent, ability, strength. You're so worthy as His children, and He has made you more worthy by your faith in Him. So when we come to this time of service in a Baptist church, we open the doors to discipleship and invite anyone who would to come. God loves you, we'll care for you, and you have eternal life. Let us stand together and sing.
I would share a few events in the life of our church with you. This morning is the first Sunday. We normally take a benevolent offering, and the ushers will be in the foyer. Please give as you can to this offering. It is used virtually every day in the service of this church. If you question that, come by the office and spend the day there. You'll see. Also, right after church this morning, across Whitaker Street in Lewis Hall, we will be having our first Sunday fellowship, but there's an added dimension today in that this is our official welcoming of Dr. Tom McCann to our church as the interim pastor. And so I encourage you to come and participate in that as well. One other announcement: on Wednesday evening, we have a full list, a full schedule of activities, choirs, table fellowship, learning, all kinds of things. Come on Wednesday night starting at 5 o'clock. Join us for that wonderful Christian fellowship together here also in Lewis Hall.
And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good thing to do his will. In Jesus' name, go with God. Amen.